I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me about a decade ago. But to be honest with you, I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared that you're going to think a little less of me, that you might hold it against me. And so before I tell you the story, I want you to know that I've grown. I'm not fully grown yet, but I've grown a little. And I hope that by sharing this story that you'll grow up a little too. I was fresh out of college. I was newly married. And working as a training coordinator at a bank in Boston. It was one of those suit and tie kind of jobs, you know. Not really my cup of tea, but I liked what I was doing. I also liked working in Boston. It was sort of the hustle and bustle of a big city, the architecture. You know, being from Texas, I was enjoying something that was older than, you know, 1895. It wasn't unusual for me to take a walk at lunchtime, and sometimes I walked to the Boston Commons or to Quincy Market, usually grab a bite to eat and just sightsee. It also wasn't unusual for me to see the same girl every day as I was walking to and from wherever it was I was going. It was the same girl looking for a handout. And she was at different places around town, but the same girl with the same request. And she wasn't really much older than I was, which shocked me a little bit. To be honest, I normally didn't carry cash, and I think if I had had cash, I probably wouldn't have given it to her anyway. I was suspicious. Some days she had a baby carriage, some days she didn't, and she was all over the place. One day we happened to meet face to face in front of the courthouse on Milk Street, and she extended her hand wanting a handout. That day, I actually had some money in my pocket. And it was just a few bucks, and so I reached in and I handed it to her. But as I decided to help, I thought, you know, I really should get to know this person. So I asked what her name was and asked her to tell me a little bit about herself. Her name was Kristen. And just in a couple of minutes or so, I learned that she struggled with depression, that she had graduated from college, but decided that she really couldn't go back home. And so she basically wandered from shelter to shelter. She lived with some old college friends for some time. And she even had a baby. When I left her, I was sad. But I was also frustrated. I was frustrated because I knew that I would see her again. I'd see her probably at the same intersection, maybe outside of the courthouse, and that she would have the same request of me. I was frustrated because I didn't want her to mistake my one-time kindness and never leave me alone again. I was frustrated because I really didn't like the feeling that someone was asking me for money. And I was frustrated that I was so tight-fisted with my money. I was frustrated because I didn't like the idea that I had to decide whether or not she was going to be able to eat that day. In Matthew's gospel, it says that when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And basically, it's this idea that as you reach into your pocket, you simply give. You don't take time to count it. You need to give generously. As Christians, we're called to be generous, but let's be honest, it can wear us out, right? Think of all the requests that come your way. You turn on the television. Maybe you get phone calls like I do on occasion. Support this booster club, support that booster club. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you live or work in a city, and you're bombarded by maybe someone who is certainly more needy than you, but it's constant. It's ongoing. Does it wear you out? Does it leave you frustrated? Does it cause you to wonder if your generosity is going to be misused? Maybe squandered? Our text this morning is one of the most touching in all of Scripture, I think. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, attempting to reconcile his relationship with that church. In our passage, Paul renews his request for their support of the church in Jerusalem, because the church in Jerusalem had suffered this tremendous drought. They were suffering, and they needed help. They needed really something to eat. When word of this came to Paul, he determined to enlist the aid of the Gentile churches to relieve the Jewish Christians. When he mentioned the need to the Christians in Macedonia, the response was tremendous. And so now when he calls on the Corinthians to give generously, he uses the Macedonians as an example. Paul encourages the Corinthians to excel in the grace of giving. And he helps us understand the relationship between God's grace and our generosity. So when you grow weary of giving, what do? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Word of God has something to say about our growing weary in the face of generosity. Look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians is in the New Testament, just beyond the book of Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to read it to you. It says, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." What do you do when you are growing weary of giving? I think Paul is saying you need to look at the generosity that God's grace has generated in others. That's why he starts with the Macedonians. Look again at verses 1 to 5. He says, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." Now, he's speaking to the church at Corinth. And he's saying, hey, look at your brothers and sisters in Macedonia. Out of the most severe trial, in other words, they had their own setbacks. They had their own excuses. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. It's an interesting pairing, isn't it? Joy and poverty. And when you put those two together, in Macedonia at least, it welled up in rich generosity. "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will." In verse 1, Paul makes it clear that the first and foremost key to Christian generosity is God's grace in our lives. See, without God's abundant grace, we're basically drawing from an empty well. And so no wonder we grow weary of giving. The truth is, we don't have it in us. We don't have enough of it in us unless we're drawing from God's full well of grace. Gary Waddingham is the rector of St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Billings, Montana. I want you to listen to this story that he tells. He says, "Several years ago, when I was ministering in a small rural community, we had extra food left over from our Christmas basket. I happened to think of a poor family who lived at the edge of town, so I packed up the food and drove to their house. When the woman, surrounded by children, answered the door, I thought of a subtle way to offer her the food. I asked, 'Do you know anyone who could use some extra food?'" Smooth, wasn't it? "You bet," she said, and she got her coat, and she headed toward her car, saying, "Follow me." She took me to people who were poorer than she, people who desperately needed food. Even though she herself needed food, I remember clearly that there was absolutely no hesitation on her part as she drove to take me to that other family. Out of this woman's extreme poverty, she was able to direct the food to those with even greater need. Look at what verses 2 and 3 say about God's grace. "Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. When you are weary of giving, look at the grace of God and the generosity that it's generated in other people. See, God's grace produced a miracle of extreme poverty, giving way to rich generosity in the lives of these Macedonians. But God's grace also produced a miracle of people who were eager, even begging, to give. Look at verses 3 and 4. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. The Christians in Macedonia, who themselves had next to nothing. Historians think that the Macedonians were undergoing severe persecution. Now, Macedonia is a region in the Middle East. It includes several cities, several different towns. This whole area, these Christians in that area, according to some historians, were undergoing severe persecution. They really themselves had next to nothing to give, and yet they pleaded with Paul for the privilege of giving. God's grace produced a people willing to sacrifice themselves for others. I love that we've been singing about sacrifice this morning, because that's what this is about. These Macedonians gave out of nothing except the abundant grace of God in their lives. Look at verse 5. Paul says, "And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." In a world where the need is great, it's easy to become weary of giving. It's easy to be burned out in the area of generosity. That's why I really took some time to think about even discussing this area of giving. The last thing you want is for the church to be competing with the various things on television or the flyers that you get in the mail. But I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say that we need to grow in this area of generosity, just like we need to grow in the area of love, hospitality, our love of the Word of God, our love for the widow and the orphan. See, when you grow weary, you not only need to look at the grace that God has put into other people's lives and see the generosity that comes out of that, but when you're weary of giving, you should be determined to excel in this grace of giving. Determine, make a decision. Look at verses 6 to 8. "So we urge Titus," Paul writes, "since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part." This is the first time that Paul has asked the Corinthians to give. He experienced some difficulties with the church at Corinth. It's a long story, but suffice it to say, people were not happy with Paul. So now Paul is writing this second letter to the Corinthian church. He's trying to reconcile with them. And they're receiving it a bit better. And he sends Titus to renew this request. He goes on to write, he says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us," all of those things very important, he says, "see also that you excel in this grace of giving." That's our challenge. See that you excel in this grace of giving. See, your spiritual health is determined not only by your faith. It's not only determined by your doctrine. It's not only determined by your love for one another. It's also determined by your generosity. What's interesting here is that Paul challenges the Corinthians to match the giving of the Macedonians. And it's not dollar for dollar. It's rather to match their level of sincerity and earnestness in giving. And I don't want you to miss that, because God is concerned about your motive. We talked about this in Home Team last week. You can give $1 million, and if you give it with the wrong heart, I guarantee God would rather have the penny that comes from a cheerful heart. See, he's able to multiply that penny. He doesn't need the money. He wants your heart directed toward him. God's concerned about motives. Some people give because they're afraid of dying. They want to make brownie points with God. Some give thousands of dollars because they think somehow it's going to advance their standing before God. And yet neither of those examples gives with a spirit to help the cause of Christ in the world. That's what we're talking about. But that's not so with the Macedonians. Macedonians gave because their hearts were moved by the grace of God. To be frank, they had nothing else to give. I mean, there must have been something there, right? I mean, they must have had some scrap or some sort of something to give. But they gave more out of the grace they'd received from Christ than from anything else. That was their motivation. See, Paul highlights their giving not because of what they gave, but because of how they gave. If anyone had an excuse, it would have been the Macedonians. They had excuses, but they ignored them because of the great grace of God in their lives. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you ignored all the things that are stacked against you to revel in the grace of God in your life? See, I could ask any one of you to stand, and you could probably tell us about the woes in your life. Maybe it's disease. Maybe it's financial difficulties. Maybe it's relational difficulties. Maybe you hate your job. When was the last time that you ignored all of those things stacked against you and simply reveled in the grace of God? Do you know the grace of God in your life? Have you opened your eyes to what God is doing in your life? We ought to do that every once in a while, don't you think? We ought to celebrate it. Every Sunday should be a celebration of the grace of God in our lives. Not what we can do for God, but for what God has already done for us. We would be left with nothing but gratitude and generosity in our lives if we just took the time to revel in God's grace. See, that's why Paul uses these Macedonians as an example. They could have said, "Hey, Paul, don't talk to us about giving. We barely have enough to eat ourselves. We're dealing with these people who are persecuting us simply because we follow Christ." But instead, Paul says they begged to have the privilege of giving. When you grow weary of giving, I want you to simply look at the generosity that the grace of God has generated in others' lives. I want you to make a decision today to excel in this grace of giving. Finally, when you grow weary of giving, I want you to consider Jesus. I want you to consider his generosity and his grace. There is no better example. Look at our final verse, verse 9. Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." It's no coincidence that Paul mentions the generosity of Jesus just after he mentions the generosity of the Macedonians. Do you see how closely the generosity of the Macedonians matches the generosity of Christ? It's about sacrifice. See, out of their poverty, they gave generously. And Paul says that through Christ's poverty, we become rich. He's not talking about money. See, our minds go toward money when we say rich, right? That's our problem. That's not Christ's problem. See, Paul isn't talking about money. Jesus sacrificed his great wealth in order to provide us with eternal life. And he does it all because of his great grace. Listen to this. Grace is not grace unless it is costly and undeserved. Grace is not grace unless it's costly and undeserved. Around Thanksgiving a few years ago, radio personality Paul Harvey. Anybody listen to Paul Harvey? I like Paul Harvey. He shared a true story of a woman and her frozen Thanksgiving turkey. Want to hear it? Okay. The Butterball Turkey Company apparently sets up this telephone hotline around Thanksgiving. Anybody ever call it? I think my mother-in-law has before. One woman called to inquire about cooking a turkey that had been in the bottom of her freezer for 23 years. In Texas, we had these deep freezers, you know. There's these big cabinets, the big door you open. Things can get lost in there, sometimes even children. The Butterball representative told her the turkey would probably be safe to eat if the freezer had been kept below zero for the past 23 years. So if it had never been unplugged or never, you know, stayed open for too long. But then the Butterball rep warned that even though the turkey might be safe to eat, the flavor would probably have deteriorated to such a degree that she wouldn't want to eat it. And so she didn't recommend it. The caller replied saying this, "That's what I thought. I think we'll give the turkey to my church." It's funny, right? It's funny. Paul Harvey always ends with those cute little stories, right? It's funny, but it lacks the kind of sacrifice that makes grace great, doesn't it? It lacks the kind of motive that honors God. She must have thought she was doing something giving that 23-year-old turkey to the church, right? That's not the kind of generosity that God's looking for. When it comes to generous giving, we simply need to look at our Savior and consider his sacrifice. Consider the grace by which he extends eternal life to each of us. If you've not considered that, I want you to consider it now. We talk about grace being costly and undeserved. It cost Jesus his life to extend the grace of God to you. And not a bit of it is deserved by us. Take a day or take a week and just look at how undeserving you are. That's not to beat you down. That's just to show you that in comparison to a holy, perfect God, we're not even close. And yet by his grace, he's extended eternal life to us. No one put Jesus on the cross. He crawled up there willingly, laid down his life willingly, and sacrificed himself so that you would have eternal life. And this is what he asks: believe. Nothing more, nothing less. Believe. You can't earn it. You can't spend millions of dollars to earn it. You can't be generous enough to earn it, because it's free. You simply have to believe. Verse 9 says that Jesus was rich. When was that? When was Jesus rich? In John chapter 17, Jesus prays to God the Father, and he says this: glorify me with the glory I had before the world was. See, there was a time when Jesus was rich, when everything in the universe belonged to him. All the hosts of heaven, all the hosts of heaven bowed down in continuous worship, and legions were ready at his command. Now that's power. That's richness. That's glory. He created it all, he owned it all, and everything was his, and he gave it up voluntarily. He deliberately made himself poor. He stripped himself of his grandeur. He stripped himself of his majesty. And Paul says in Philippians, very simply, Jesus humbled himself. The God of the universe, your creator, humbled himself. And he became a man, just a poor man. So the question is, why? And Paul says it so that we might be rich. Not so that you have heavy pockets, or a full wallet. It's so that you can live richly. Have you ever thought about how rich the Lord has made you? Never thought about it? I mean, aside from your checkbook, have you ever thought about how rich God has made you? See, when you're weary of giving, I want you to simply consider the grace of Jesus in your life. That's what Paul try to do here with the Corinthian church. Look at what God has done in your life. Paul set out to raise funds for the church in Jerusalem. And while he didn't even think to ask the struggling Macedonians, they themselves begged to have the privilege of giving, of sending funds to help their Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ. And out of their extreme poverty, and out of their extreme joy in the grace of God, they gave beyond their means. They sacrifice to give generously because they recognize God's grace in their lives. See, God's grace should change the way we think about our generosity. Better yet, I think God's grace should change how generous we are. If you know God's grace, day by day, we should be becoming more and more generous, more and more like him. When you grow weary Look at God's grace. Look at what it's done to produce generosity in the lives of others. Take time to excel in the grace of giving. Stretch yourself. Sacrifice. And feel the great joy of giving. Try it. When you grow weary of giving, I want you to look at what Jesus did for you. For your sake, he became poor so that you might live richly in this life and in the life to come. That's amazing grace. Remembering it should help us all excel in this grace of giving. Will you pray with me? Father, I am grateful. Grateful for your word, which always teaches, always opens my eyes, always challenges my heart, always moves my hands and my feet. I must only respond to your perfect and holy word. Lord, I thank you for the example of the Macedonians, our brothers and sisters in Christ so many years ago, who gave so generously, so richly, not because they had anything, but they knew the grace of God in their lives. Lord, thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing here at Northwest Hills Community Church. Thank you for what you're doing in individual lives seated out in front of me, standing up behind me, serving in the nursery, teaching our children at 11 o'clock. All of these different people experiencing your grace, knowing what it is to be forgiven, knowing what it is to be free, knowing what it is to be able to say goodbye to the things that bind us and keep us back. Because of God's grace in our lives, we can move forward, not dwelling in the past, but moving forward in rich, generous living. Lord, for those here today who don't know your grace, show yourself to them. Open their eyes. Make their hearts fall in love with the Savior, knowing that we can't even help ourselves but be generous, to be thinking of others, to be giving in every area of our life, time, treasure, talent. Grow us up, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.